This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where for 10 years we've been cooking something delicious, eating it all, and you not having any.
What? I don't think that was grammatical.
And you not have any. Can't have been having any.
Anyway, you, Matthew, I can't believe we're here.
I can't believe we're here either. Luckily, I mean, everything is pretty much the same as it was when we started. Nothing interesting has happened.
You're living in the same place.
That's true. This is the same studio.
I'm living in a different place.
That's true.
We moved in 2011.
And that's the most interesting thing that's happened to you since then.
Yeah. Definitely the most interesting thing that's happened to me.
Is this memory lane, by the way?
I have a different spouse.
Yeah.
And
But I mean, like, just one.
Yeah, just one. I'm still not married to Matthew.
That's true. I mean, still, we there was a brief period where we accidentally, remember, we became common law podcast spouses, but then we had to get that annulled so that you could marry Ash.
I thought that it was the kind of thing where, like, if you take care of somebody else's property for X number of years.
Oh, it becomes your property? Squatter's rights?
Yes. Yeah, so.
So you now own my dining room.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
I showed that I devoted sufficient resources to
You're absolutely right.
Nothing.
The law is the law.
Anyway, so today we're doing something that we've never done before.
And may never. Well, no, we'll do it again on the 20th anniversary episode.
I can't wait to see where we are then.
Yeah.
Who we are
then. It's going to be great.
Anyway, today we are revisiting our very first episode, Fried Eggs.
Yeah.
Which I can tell you I have not listened to since it came out.
I did at one point, I think, because I was using it as an example for a podcasting class or panel or something on what not to do.
Oh.
I certainly haven't listened to it recently, and I'm very scared.
I think that it was producer Abby's idea. That we do like a running commentary of our first episode for this episode.
Right. So like sort of Mystery Science Theater style. We've never done this before, and I don't know how it's going to work.
Mystery Science Theater was.
Mystery Science Theater is a TV show where like some people and some robots watch a bad movie and talk over it and make jokes.
Oh, are we able to talk over our show?
We are, but I think probably we should pause it because I think actually like talking over our own voices would be even worse than just replaying the original Fried Egg episode.
Okay, so Matthew, let's make some predictions. What do you think?
Oh, that's a good idea.
What do you think we're going to notice?
Okay, I think we're going to sound subdued.
I think we're going to sound like we're trying to be Ira Glass.
Yes.
And failing. I think we're going to sound like...
No, I think we're going to sound pretty much just as good as Ira Glass.
And then we've gone downhill since then.
Right. I think the show will be in five acts. And not like
anyway, Matthew. So I think that we're going to sound subdued. I think that we're going to sound. I think that we're going to laugh a lot less. I think we're going to be reticent to laugh.
Maybe you know what? Here's a prediction. I think there's going to be a point in this episode where we both laugh at something, and our current selves are like, "What are we laughing at? I don't even hear what the joke was."
Yes. Okay. I think also that.
Because the standards of comedy have changed so much since then. Like now, you know, it's not funny anymore to tell misogynistic jokes somehow, and we're all very disappointed about this.
Are we? Okay, Matthew.
Right, guys?
I'll let you walk this one back.
Ugh.
Anyway, is there anything that you feel like we're going to discover about fried eggs that we might have, like, forgotten that we said?
Oh, that's it. Well, okay. So I remember that we talked about snowy white bottom.
We referred to them as snowy white bottoms.
I know
bottoms.
That's going to happen.
Because you said that you liked a snowy white bottom on a fried egg.
Yes. And you know what? Well, I don't want to react to that until it happens.
I'll wait. I'll react to it when it happens because I have a thought already about that bit.
I bet you do.
Do we even call that a bit? Were we even doing bits?
I don't know. What were our bits like back then?
Oh, my bits hadn't had a child come out of them.
Yeah, that's right. And my I don't know. I don't know what to say about my bits.
Okay, so should we listen?
Yeah, we should listen. Are you ready?
I don't know. I think this is going to be even worse than I'm expecting.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, go on.
Okay, first, it seems we should have started already,
yeah,
right?
Like
the theme music
already
is rolling way too long.
Yeah, what were we waiting for?
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today's show is about fried eggs.
I'm really psyched about this topic.
You've never sounded less psyched about it. It sounds like I'm holding a gun to your head, like, Molly, why don't you come do a podcast with me, whether you like it or not?
Do you know what it also sounds like? It sounds like I'm trying not to move my lips very much. Like, I don't know. Is there something wrong with my mouth?
I think maybe for this episode, we thought it was going to be a ventriloquist podcast. We were each holding a dummy, but we don't know how to do ventriloquism. Like, I'm Matthew, and I'm Molly, and this is a show where we move our lips very little. Do you know how to do ventriloquism? Have you ever tried it?
I don't. But you know what? Have I told you about this woman in Oklahoma?
I don't think so.
Who I always think of. I remember having an interaction with her at a party when I was like a teenager and she was a grown up. My mother will know exactly who this is.
Oh my God. I can't wait. I have no idea where this is going.
She smiled through the entire interaction, so much so that it seemed like she was talking through her teeth.
Okay.
And I remember she was talking about her husband's Gucci loafers. I know, of all things, right? And anyway, so for years now, I have privately, with my mother, also sort of like imitated this woman.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to change her husband's name to
Barney.
Joe.
Okay.
I'm going to change. Oh my gosh, Joe and I just got back from Hawaii. He got some new Gucci loafers there.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway.
Is Hawaii known as a good place to get loafers?
I don't remember why she was talking about a trip to Hawaii and the Gucci loafers, but I don't know if her jaw was wired shut. I don't think it was. I think she was smiling so much.
Maybe she had gotten like some sort of early Botox.
Maybe.
Type of thing.
Yeah, maybe they were still working out the kinks.
A facelift, like a recent facelift. I don't know what a facelift is, really.
Anyway, it sounds like I was trying to talk like her.
Maybe the reason
I remember it all these years later is maybe I'm secretly jealous of
her. I just had a horrifying thought.
By the way, I've been trying to talk like her for years.
Molly did a bunch of research for this episode, and I'm not totally sure why, since I think mostly we're just going to be making fun of our old episode.
Sorry. I had written down that I was supposed to do research, so I did research.
No, I really appreciate the lengths that you went to.
They were long.
I just had a terrible thought, which is, what if some people listening to this hear our old episode and think, boy, like, I wish things could still be like that. Like,
I know.
The show was so much better back then, back in the good old days.
That's the risk we're taking.
Okay.
Can I make another prediction? I think we're going to find we don't talk over each other as much.
Oh, that we used to talk over each other not as much because we would just like wait patiently for someone to finish.
I think we were more polite. Okay.
I think probably we were before we became shock jocks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you just hit play again?
Yeah. We're 19 seconds into the episode. By the way, the episode's 13 minutes long. I think we're going to try and do the whole thing. So at the current rate, I think we will finish by next week.
Okay. Go on.
Is it weird to be psyched about fried eggs?
Yes.
Yeah, probably a little bit. But, you know, I have to admit, I am too. I love a good fried egg.
No, you're not.
You know, the thing is, if you really love the flavor of eggs, and if you've got a great egg that you're excited about, fry the thing. It's really the best way to showcase everything that's great about eggs.
What? What is that? What was I talking about?
Well,
do you agree? What made me even think about that? I think I thought that we were doing a food show.
Right. I think because it was the fried egg episode, we had to be unnaturally enthusiastic about fried eggs, and yet also it sounds like we're on all of the Valium.
Okay. Good play.
That way about everything. If you want to showcase it, fry it.
hilarious jokes.
It's going to be our new motto, I think. But, you know, I don't know. Particularly eggs.
Yes, but what makes something, what makes an egg great?
I do have to say, we have stuck with the same motto since episode one.
That's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive, because why?
Well, you know, I think about the eggs that I've been getting at the farmer's market lately. Those yolks are so rich and so orange. The flavor is incredible.
I know. I love how when you put them in.
I sound like I'm doing a bad Lynn Rosetto Casper impersonation.
Yeah, exactly. And who am I trying to be?
Those eggs are so rich and smooth.
Do I still sound that nasal?
Play it again. I'll tell you.
And to fry them, the yolk kind of sits up in the middle of the pan like, hello, I'm the yolk.
Oh, no.
I get my...
All right, canceled. We're canceled.
We should not have done this. No, you don't sound that nasal anymore. I think your voice has changed, or maybe it's just that you've relaxed.
Mm-hmm. No, I went through the
podcast puberty.
Yeah, podcast. We've talked about this before, haven't we?
I went through
puberty to like the Mitski album. You can hear there's an enormous amount of background noise in this episode because we had a cheap microphone and we could only afford one microphone, and so we put it in between us, and we were each like 2 feet away from the microphone and sort of talking near it.
I did not remember that.
It's from Sweden, and. when you serve them up, they look exactly like the Moons Over Miami picture from the Denny's menu, but taste much better than that.
Delicious. You know, and the other thing is that fried eggs are good on everything.
Wait, they taste better than what? They taste better than the Moons Over Miami picture, or they taste better than Moons Over Miami? Because nothing tastes better than Moons Over Miami. What am I talking about?
I don't know. Hit play.
That's true. I'm wearing one right now. But they're also good on food.
They are. They're delicious on food. I've been braising a lot of things lately since it's winter, and you know, we got to occupy all of these hours of darkness here in Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Oh, coincidentally, 10 years later, it's winter again. What have you been braising lately? Oh, Molly is defeated already.
My voice is terrible.
Yeah, we have like 11 and a half minutes left of this. And we have to do the whole thing because we're in podcast jail. We're in podcast hell.
Let's just keep it going.
Braising a lot. And I really love a fried egg on braised cabbage or braised endive or Brussels sprouts.
Me too. I read a study once that the average person thinks about braising 100 times a day.
I definitely do.
Me too. That sounds wonderful. And I'm going to take that in the same direction. Some southern style braised greens, stewed greens, like mustard greens, collard greens, cook them for a long time, serve them up, put some ham in there or some bacon, put a fried egg on top, and the yolk will melt right into the pot liquor and make an incredibly thick, unctuous sauce.
I don't make that. I never make that. I don't think I made that even then. I think I was trying to be fancy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It sounds good, but I don't know if I ever really made it.
No, I'm just realizing that my cooking has changed a lot. Like, I love this braised endive recipe from All About Braising, which we've talked about
for sure.
A million times.
I think we talked about it on episode two, the braising episode, which we're going to be doing commentary on next week, because for the next 420 episodes.
Just kidding.
It's a recap.
Anyway, but I, you know, now not only am I feeding a child, but I have a partner who has a very different palate from mine. And so I never do things like braised endive. Actually, braised cabbage I did recently. It went over really well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love braised cabbage.
Brussels sprouts always go over really well. But now I want to do that endive like just for myself.
I want to make that thing that I lied and said I made.
It sounds great.
Good use of unctuous.
Yes.
You know, speaking of things that you cook for a long time and sort of braise and stew, one thing I want to be sure to mention is ratatouille. A fried egg on top of ratatouille is a thing of beauty.
Have you made that recently?
No.
Have you ever made that?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, like, both of my parents loved making ratatouille when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Like, and they had different ways of doing it. And anyway, so as a kid, I ate a lot of ratatouille with a fried egg on top. My kid would not eat ratatouille, like, ever.
Yeah.
It's got bell peppers in it. It's got eggplant in it. My spouse also wouldn't eat it, probably. It's got zucchini. My spouse doesn't really like zucchini.
I am fine with ratatouille, but it's not one of my favorite things. But maybe if you fried an egg and put it on there, I would eat it.
Great. I'm glad we got to the bottom of this.
Have you noticed how much lip clicking there is this old episode? Like, this is something that producer Abby takes out now, but we did not have producer Abby back then. I edited the episodes and I was not good at it.
Let me hear.
Doesn't the DVD get all, like, greasy?
moving right along.
Hey, moving right along.
Okay, so for...
Do I say that now?
Yeah.
Still? Really?
Absolutely.
It's like a tick I don't know I
have.
Oh,
it's great. But,
really?
But, like, it goes back to episode one.
I had no idea. I still had no idea that I even say it.
No, it's, like, I feel... All of a sudden, I feel like we are like, archaeologists. Isn't that... Didn't you, like, major in archaeology or something?
Anthropology.
Anthropology.
It's,
same
it's
thing.
It's different.
Forget this European crap. How about bibimbap? It's the Korean rice bowl dish. You got a bowl of rice, some wonderful pickled and spicy and otherwise some deliciously prepared vegetables and some marinated beef and a fried egg right in the middle of the bowl. And you stir everything together and eat it with a spoon. It's brilliant.
I want some right now.
Me too.
We did a bibimbap episode.
I didn't hear any lip clicking.
No, there. No, you're right. As soon as I pointed it out, you stopped doing it.
Okay. All right, go on.
Another thing you can do, have you ever had a fried egg on a burger?
No.
It sounds like it would be completely, okay, it is completely over the top, but it's wonderful. You don't need any other kind of sauce on there. It's beautiful.
Would you do it on a cheeseburger? Do you think that, you know, that it would be great? Because I'm a cheeseburger kind of person.
I'm a cheeseburger kind of person,
there.
Too.
There, right there. I think. We've uncovered.
Abby edits those out?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know they were missing. Sneaky.
They've gone missing. We're looking for them everywhere. somewhere in my dining room, which is now your dining room.
It's like a whole
there's a secret
of
stash
lip clicking.
Of lip clicks.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. Good. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention,
you can hear so much like so many like tissues
sounds.
Smacking
yeah,
against
there's, like,
each other.
All of
in my
the
mouth.
Tissues are on display audically.
Is fried eggs are great on salad. We don't only have to put them on hot things, you know?
That's true.
So I was thinking actually
I never do that.
Salad, like a salad lyonnaise.
Absolutely.
But, I mean,
not.
That's usually a poached egg, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I never do this.
I know. Yeah. This is something that I will eat with gusto if it's served in a restaurant, but I'm not making it at home.
No.
Gusto.
Which is a really mustardy vinaigrette, frisé, and usually ham or bacon. You can throw a fried egg on top, and the egg yolk would be fantastic.
Now, doesn't that usually have a poached egg?
Matthew.
I'm still that guy, but I hate that guy.
Okay, go on.
I like to do it at home with a fried egg.
me too, actually, because I'm kind of scared of poaching eggs. Maybe that'll be another episode.
Okay.
Oh, spoiler alert, it was.
I we'll bookmark
get over,
that
get
one.
Over, yep, my fear of poaching.
Poorly timed
okay,
stinger.
That all sounds great. Is there anything that wouldn't be improved by putting a fried egg on top?
Oh, for sure. I mean, really, it's sad, but there are things. And the first one I'm thinking of is pancakes.
Yes.
What? This is like a weird like stunt portion of the show. We never talk about stuff like this anymore. Like, what wouldn't you do with a fried egg?
Well, you know, we also never do anymore, which I think may be coming up, and I'm just now remembering, is remember how we used to have a cooking segment in every episode?
Let's cut to that part. Here we go.
We're not going to cut.
Okay,
that would break our contract with the listener. We said we were going to torture everyone with this entire episode, and God damn it, we will.
I really don't think fried eggs should be anywhere near anything sweet.
That's true. I guess I'll admit that's kind of gross, but people are doing it all over America.
I know, and it's a tragedy.
People, you're on notice.
Oh my God, you're still doing that
on steak. You see that done? I like the way the yolk pools around the edge of the steak and mixes with the steak juices. That's just too rich for me.
Yeah.
And I like rich.
What?
Stuff.
Yeah, that's intense.
I think I still feel that way.
But would you like refuse it if it were handed to you?
Yes. If someone on the street, if I was walking down the street and someone came up to me and handed me a steak with an egg, with a broken yolk like oozing over it, I would say, what is happening? Like, am I getting punked?
Okay. Just answer the question.
Would I refuse it? No. But
that's so, I can't believe you even brought that up. I would totally eat the.
I don't even know what I'm talking. Is this a thing people do?
I think so. I think it's like a, don't they do it at Denny's? Don't they offer it like...
Like a steak with a fried egg on top? I mean, maybe. We're going to be going.
Oh, God, I'm going to be talking about it later. It's part of the research I did.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay.
You know, another thing I'm thinking would be really bad with a fried egg is a slice of cake.
I think that's an atrocity.
Yeah.
What was this segment?
How about spaghetti marinara with a fried egg on top? You know, I'm thinking that might not work.
Oh, well, sign me up. Good. I would do that.
Yeah, that sounds like it probably would be good.
I think I was about to say that I've actually done it.
I tried frying an egg in a skillet of marinara sauce. I had some leftover marinara and thought it'd make an easy dinner. And it just wasn't right. The marinara has all this, you know, bite and acidity to it from the tomatoes. And it just sort of covers up the yolk.
Hmm.
I sound like I was being euthanized as I said that sentence. Like, I just sound so subdued and so controlled.
I wonder what was the point at which we became the show and the people that we now are. You should write a book about that. You're good at, like, self-interrogation.
Yeah, this sounds fascinating. Uh-huh. I can't wait to get started.
The fixed pods.
I have a bad idea. A mug of beer with a fried egg dropped in it. Although hip bartenders are calling it the dunker.
I am feeling queasy just thinking of it.
That's pretty funny.
So that sounds like a great time to get in the kitchen and make some lunch.
Fantastic.
How about some kimchi fried rice? I've got some homemade kimchi, some leftover rice. We'll fry it up with some bacon and put a couple of fried eggs on top. What do you think?
What is not to love?
All right. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Oh, my God.
So I still stand behind kimchi fried rice, obviously. We're going to make it again today, but we're not going to do a cooking segment. I'm stalling as long as possible because I'm terrified of what this cooking segment is going to sound like. I think it's going to be all sizzling, maybe. Your thoughts? You.
This is making me very tired.
Well, it's okay. We're not halfway done.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
So, and for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on MasterClass, and she teaches, like, the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on MasterClass.
Yeah, well, MasterClass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
So the eggs that we're using today...
Oh my God!
It's even worse than I expected. Okay.
are from Quilcita Farms here in Washington State. I think Chilcita mostly raises goats.
Thrilling.
So these are goat eggs?
No, these are chicken eggs, actually. Goat eggs, I think. Very difficult to fry.
I believe the biological term for a goat egg is a zygote.
Yes.
That's a fertilized goat egg.
Yeah, you're right. That's different. It sounds like we might be cracking eggs or maybe just like sort of bumping into things and slapping each other.
Or perhaps, I don't know, an early stage blastula. Anyway.
Oh, man, this is going to be a blastula.
Oh, Matthew.
Anyway, but Quilcita also grows raises great chickens and good eggs.
I don't even... remember buying
eggs. Yes, I love having access to such good eggs these days.
You don't remember buying some eggs that you bought 10 years ago?
No, but I don't even remember the name of I don't remember this farm at all. I wonder if it still exists.
I don't know.
Feel
bad. You think we put them out of business?
Probably. This cooking segment sounds so bad. I'm pretty sure everybody was like, we're going to blame it on the eggs.
Yeah, that's probably true. With all the crackling noises, it's probably just,
Although, for some reason, at our farmer's market, everybody ran out of eggs like 3 weeks ago and they haven't had any since.
Well, I was just asking somebody about that the other day, actually, why it is that not only it's harder to get eggs at the farmer's market in the winter, but they're so much more expensive. I don't know if you've noticed that.
It sort of sounds like we're on fire. This is like just a raging inferno. Dog in the cartoon that says like, this is fine. Like, we're just going to keep podcasting. Like,
And I just want to clarify that when you say we're on fire, you mean actually and not not like metaphorically, like that we're coming up with all kinds of zingers.
No, but like the further we get into this, the more I'm like hearing myself is still sounding the same as me from 10 years ago, and I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Apparently chickens lay fewer eggs in the winter. And so just, you know, there's less supply.
Can we like whip them or something?
Well, maybe we could. We should try it.
Okay.
I'll call up the guy at Quilcita, ask him if he's tried whipping his chickens.
Yeah.
I mean, you should call him up and see if his farm's still in business.
Because I think the whole like happy farm animals thing is over, right?
Yeah. I think it's had its day.
I just went along with all your jokes then.
Uh-huh.
So are we going to cook these eggs two at a time?
I was going to put all four in there.
Okay.
I remember this part.
Oh no!
Because that way the whites don't have a chance to spread way all over the place.
Okay. I hold the mic down.
Wait a minute.
I guess my theory is
you
like...
You cooked four eggs all at once and you were saying the whites don't have a chance to spread all over. They just spread into each other.
But I think the idea was that... I mean, like, you don't want to use a pan that's too big for the number of eggs you're cooking because the whites can spread too much because there isn't anything to...
I don't see there being any problem with whites spreading. You want a thick white?
Yeah, I guess I want a thick white. Yeah, okay.
I think that has more to do with the freshness of your eggs.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
Okay.
I've learned nothing in 10 years. That's what we've learned.
I do remember, though, that you cracked all four eggs into one skillet and that I like actively don't like doing that because I want the egg, when it's on the plate, to have like that irregular shape that it took in the pan.
Oh,
I don't want it to have
this
weird like straight edge from being cut off from the other egg that it was fused to.
So you like spread whites and I like contained whites.
Yes.
Okay.
Like near the frying pan with the eggs in?
No, the way they're not going to make that much noise the way I do it.
What's not going to make that much noise?
The eggs.
The eggs?
The frying.
Let's pretend this.
I was wrong. They make that much noise.
Cheap frying noise is the fried egg.
Okay.
What?
So we've just been sitting here.
Oh, thank God.
Cheese fried rice with a fried egg on top, and it was totally fantastic.
Thank you.
And I was noticing that when you were frying your eggs, that you cooked them pretty gently so that they still had kind of a snowy white bottom as opposed to a frizzled brown bottom.
There it is. Okay.
I remember I thought this part of the episode was so funny and like so risky.
Yeah, so like, ribald.
Yeah, that we were making. I always thought that word was pronounced ribald. I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know.
Listeners, please tell us.
I'm basing my pronunciation. I realize there was a Saturday Night Live bit in the 90s called Tales of Ribaldry that I think was hosted by Mike Myers.
Oh, well, you may be right. But
even if it is ribaldry, and I'm not even sure of that, that doesn't mean it's ribald. The more I say it, the dumber it sounds.
I remember thinking that this joke was really not like risque, but I remember thinking, like when we launched this episode and when we launched the podcast,
yeah.
I remember thinking, oh my gosh, people are totally going to see my real sense of humor.
They're going to see your
they're going to see my snowy white bottom,
right.
Which is much more juvenile and stupid and dirty than my writing is. And so I just remember thinking that like this quote-unquote joke about the snowy white bottom was indicative of my like dirty sense of humor.
That's true. Yeah, no, and ironically, I didn't actually see your snowy white bottom until years later.
Sorry, there's nothing funny about those terms. Well, I mean, the reason I do that way is because one day I Googled snowy white bottom on Google Images and just I liked what came up. The even more embarrassing true reason is that one time I read a food writer, and I don't even remember who it was, who was very strident about a fried egg must always be perfectly white on the bottom, and that's the only true fried egg. And I don't really believe that, but at the same time, I somehow kind of internalized it and made the snowy white bottom my bottom of choice.
I don't feel this way anymore at all.
I wonder, as I'm listening to this, I wonder, was the writer John Thorne?
I think it was not.
Okay.
So I think it was...
Because this sounds like a John Thorne assertion.
So I think it may have been in a John Thorne piece talking about a different writer, and John Thorne disagreed. Because I don't think John Thorne feels that way about
eggs.
About eggs.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't feel this way anymore.
No. I mean, I still, depending on the context, like I still like a snowy white bottom, but I will now, I think, more often like crank up the heat and get some color and some crispness.
Did you like the snowy white bottom because of the texture or the flavor or like the absence of something that is in crispy eggs?
The texture, I think, the way like the whole egg kind of like can be easily teased apart.
Yes, that's true.
But who cares?
Yeah, I really don't give anything about that.
You don't give a fig.
Wow.
That's how edgy we've gotten. We're willing to say things like don't give a fig.
Well, you know, bottoms aside, was it John Thorne who by any chance
it might have been.
Oh no! A piece by John Thorne about toast, and it's made it so that I can never enjoy toast again.
And then we did a toast episode and talked a lot about that.
Oh my God, Matthew, I'm the same person on the inside.
Yeah, we've gotten nowhere
so
in life.
So many other things about my life have changed, but on the inside, I'm still thinking of that toast article by John Thorne.
What have we actually accomplished?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Because I'm always analyzing it, going, would John Thorne think this toast was good enough? It's very, John Thorne, man.
Whatever it is that he said about toast, don't tell me, because I don't want toast to be ruined for me either.
Well, I have to say, I like my fried eggs with a frizzled brown, you know, sort of lacy edge to them. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think that it's maybe because that's just sort of the way I learned to cook them. I kind of agree with you. I like them both ways.
Yeah. Let's Google up lacy edge and see what happens.
Yeah, let's do.
Nice one.
The problem I have when I make fried eggs is I get nervous that the white just around the base of the yolk might not be all the way cooked.
Me too. Wait, me too.
Well, this is...
Wait.
Oh no.
We've got a couple of special guests on the episode this week.
It's us.
We've traveled through times, and we're sitting in the studio, which now belongs to Molly, but which Molly?
I'm so confused, and I love it.
Yeah, I don't know which one I am anymore.
Wait.
What was I even reacting to? Oh, yes, I'm still afraid that it's so hard with fried eggs to find the balance. You want the white to be fully cooked. Somebody likes a runny white, but it's not us.
Okay, well, you know, I'm probably about to say this on the old episode, but I have two thoughts in relationship to this. Number one, do you usually go over easy or sunny side up?
I usually go sunny side up, but I definitely don't mind an over easy. I'm afraid of breaking the yolk when I go
easy. I go over easy pretty much every time because I have such an aversion to runny white.
Yeah.
And going over easy really helps with that.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
The other thing is, and my mother always does
and
this.
And going over easy is a sex position, right?
It is. Did I tell you that Ash and I have this? Okay, this episode needs to be marked not safe for June.
NSFJ, yeah.
Please. Ash and I have a lesbian sex book.
Okay.
That is, I think it's basically like porn for straight men. It's got like a lot of pictures of very attractive women.
I don't think men are going to buy a book.
Oh.
Frankly.
You're right. But anyway, it has like 50 different like sex positions, many of which are just slight variations on the other.
Are like, some of them like impossible?
Some of them are straight up impossible. Yeah. And one of them, which I'll let you imagine, is called My Favorite Handbag.
Oh, no.
It's terrible. Ash and I joke about it all the time.
I mean,
anyway.
I don't want to, like, oh, no, like, in the yuck someone's yum sort of way.
The name.
Yeah.
The name. No, it's cool if you're into the act.
Right,
whatever,
of course.
But, yeah. Anyway, but Overeasy, I think, is probably the name of a position in this book. Because they're all, like, catchy names. Like, I think there's even one called, like, Peach Melba or something like that.
Yeah. What other dessert names would work? Like, Bananas Foster. Remember, was it like on a banana episode where we made Bananas Foster and it was delicious? And then I made it once again and then forgot and went back to not ever thinking about Bananas Foster until now.
Okay. Anyway, let's go. Oh, but anyway, wait.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that my mother's way of making sure that the whites
are cooked? What?
Making sure that the whites are cooked.
Okay.
Can this episode also be marked not safe for Molly's mom?
NSFMM.
Anyway. My mom's way of making sure that the whites are properly cooked is to put a few drops of water in the pan and then quickly put a lid over it. So you kind of steam the top of the egg.
I always cook my fried eggs lid on. But I don't necessarily put the water in because there's usually, I feel like, enough water in the egg white to get the job done.
I am, like, mouth-clicking it up now.
It's fine. Abby's going to take them all out.
But anyway, you always cook your fried eggs lid on?
Pretty much, yeah.
I never think to do that. Is your lid glass? Is it clear?
I do have a glass lid, but it's not. No.
Okay.
The answer is no.
I was wondering if you felt more inclined to do it because you had a glass lid and you could see the cooking process and, like, know how they were doing.
I can just sort of feel it.
That's how I feel about cooking, about blanching green beans.
Yeah.
Like, I can just feel it. Like, yep. I don't need to, like, you know, taste one or whatever.
Do you think like the Instant Pot has improved your sense of when something is done?
The Instant Pot has totally disoriented me. Anyway, okay, back to the episode.
Okay. I just realized something. Wait, when we do this again in 10 years from now, are we going to be listening back to this episode that we're taping now and doing commentary on that?
It's going to be the Russian doll of a podcast.
Because I can see into our future and we're going to look back on, we're going to listen to that Bananas Foster joke and be like, that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
True. And runny yolk is a beautiful thing, but runny white is really snotty and disgusting and can totally ruin dinner. What do you do to make sure that the white is all cooked before you serve the sunny side up egg?
I kind of poke around on the egg with my finger. Now, this is not a very glamorous method.
I do that.
I don't do that. Go on.
Is there a chapter in that book called Poke Around on the Egg with My Finger? Because really have to get in there for that.
It's not, the egg is not as hot as you would think. So I've never burned myself doing it. But, you know, just beware.
I've never done this.
My index finger and my middle finger. And when the egg looks like it's about done to me, when the white looks opaque and the yolk still looks, you know, bright and runny, I just touch around the yolk with my finger just to make sure that there's not a lot of jiggling under my finger.
I do not do this.
I think...
Where did I even get this idea?
Know.
If I've done it, I've done it maybe once.
Maybe it was in a John Thorne book.
I think I haven't done it for like 10 years, if I've ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you laugh when I say jiggle? What is your mind?
No reason.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I make sure that there's not a lot of jiggling or that it doesn't feel too slippery or gelatinous under my finger.
Okay, well, let me ask you a follow-up question. If you touch it and it is still jiggly and gelatinous, isn't that really gross and doesn't it make you want to, like, get a new finger?
Yeah. Oh, you've made that joke
so many times.
I really think that, you know, if there was like a top 10 list of like nasty stuff, I think that...
Okay, top 10 list of nasty stuff. Go. Number one.
Other people's dog's poop.
Yep. Number two, any dog's poop. Number three...
Other people's children's poop.
Yeah. Number four, when a kid has a runny nose and it's like
it's
congealed into like various different fluids, like sort of like setting up like a custard on their face.
Yeah.
And number five, runny eggs bits.
Runny white.
Top five is good enough.
Okay. Wait a minute. We didn't even get the top five. We did the top 5 to 10.
Okay. Well, just use your imagination. Okay. I thought we were starting at one.
Honey White would definitely be, I don't know, at least number two.
Yeah. And it's also a terrible name for a rapper.
runny way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably still say that.
I have to admit, a couple of weeks ago, I accidentally served Lori, my wife, a fried egg that had a little snotty strand of runny white. And
That's wife of the show, Lori, is her name now, for anyone following along.
So embarrassed when she held this up on her fork in an admonishing way.
What shame. Wow.
By the way, I still remember that.
You do?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I think I have served to myself and my loved ones plenty of eggs that had a little bit of runny white and that we all got over.
Not me.
Well, how do you make sure that your white's not going to be runny?
Well, I sort of use a spatula the same way you use your finger and kind of pull at the edge of the yolk without breaking the yolk, of course, but pull the white back a little bit until it doesn't kind of move around so much and I can tell that it's cooked.
Pause.
Sometimes I...
Okay, hold on. So you don't like to do your eggs over easy because you're afraid of breaking the yolk. Now, what you're talking about doing with a spatula
is so dangerous.
Far more likely to break the yolk.
Oh, yeah, but that's because I live on the edge. If there's one thing we've learned between episode one and now, it's that I'm a dangerous man, right?
Why don't you just keep playing it?
I decide to go over easy at the last second and just flip the eggs for 5 seconds and make sure that it's cooked that way.
Yeah, it's like taking out a little additional insurance policy.
Exactly.
It is like that.
Yeah. I would buy that. You know what I make when I don't know what else to eat?
What?
A fried egg sandwich. I fry an egg. I toast a couple of pieces of bread. I put on a little grated cheese and some hot sauce. And I would eat that for any meal.
I still do that, but I'm more likely to do it with an English muffin or a hamburger bun because I like it that it's round.
I never think to do that.
Oh, it's so good.
And do you? So I know some people, when they make an egg sandwich or when they fry an egg for an egg sandwich, they intentionally break the yolk while they're cooking it so that the yolk kind of spreads and coats the white.
Okay.
Do you do that or do you keep your yolk intact?
So I keep my yolk intact, but this is a little gross. Sometimes I will keep my yolk intact, but I will like squeeze the sandwich over the sink a little bit so a little bit of yolk runs out.
I would think you would want to squeeze it over a plate and then, you know, kind of mop up the yolk with the bread.
I don't like seeing like the just a pool of just yolk on my plate.
I love that you're so particular about so many things.
This is almost over.
Oh, thank God.
I wonder, did we do outtakes back then?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
That sounds delicious. You know, when I make a fried egg sandwich, well, I don't even know if you can call it a sandwich because I make it open face. I feel like, how do you keep the yolk? How do you make sure the yolk spreads out evenly between those two pieces of bread? If you get some bites that are yolkless.
I get some bites that are yolkless and I get some yolk running down my finger. But it's okay. Now, when you say yours is open face, do you mean just like a piece of toast with a fried egg sitting on top of it?
That is what I mean. Yeah.
Do you eat it with a fork?
No, I would actually pick it up and eat it. However, I would keep a fork on hand to stab it and smear the yolk strategically around.
Yes.
I'm very careful with my egg yolk.
I really want
to distribute it evenly over this, the white.
Amen. Thank you, Molly of 10 years ago.
Yep.
I co-sign.
We were just babies.
We were babies.
Dumb babies.
It's so interesting. Like the places where we talked about. Hold on. Actually, let's wait to sum up.
Okay.
Fork on hand right now in case you need to stab something.
I always do.
I'm going to be careful what I say from here on out.
Spoiler alert. I wasn't.
Well, Molly, I got to go. I'm going to cook up a whole bunch of fried eggs and go around and put them on everything in sight and just see what works.
We clearly wrote that thinking it was a funny bit, right?
Well, in the beginning, we said that fried eggs are good on everything,
right.
And you made the joke about them being on you.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and now you've got me curious. I think I'm going to go get some beer and put a fried egg in it. Ugh. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that makes you apparently never want to cook anything again.
Visit us on our website at spilledmilkpodcast.com where you can find this week's recipe for kimchi fried rice. I'm Matthew Amsterberg.
By the way, like all the old recipes kind of got dumped off the website and you can't find them anymore, so sorry.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg. Well, the first thing that I'm thinking of, since it's winter, is braises. I think we should all be sort of braising. I think we should all be braising our brains.
I love that Beach Boys classic, Braise in USA.
What? No!
Anyway.
Although they do kind of play the hell out of it this time of year.
Yeah.
Oh my God, wait a minute. This outtake.
Okay. All right.
This outtake actually sounds like us now.
It kind of does, yeah.
Yeah, that sounded weird. More like us.
Well, yeah, that's the part we thought we weren't going to use, and so we could sort of be ourselves.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, smiling while we talked, talking through gritted teeth, talking about dummies. Talking about Gucci loafers.
If you were a ventriloquist, what would the name of your dummy be?
What's the name of the usual ventriloquist dummy?
Is there a standard one?
No, like the usual
one?
Guy you picture.
Charlie McCarthy?
Is that it?
Like Edgar Bergen's puppet?
Kind of a creepy face.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie.
I think mine would be named Doug.
That's perfect. Isn't it? It's perfect.
And I would use Doug to say, like, all the things that, Doug would just be my id talking.
Have I told you, I think I told you about one night when I was writing the first draft of my book.
Yeah.
That'll be out in May.
Mm-hmm. Which you can pre-order now.
Anyway, I was telling Ash that I needed to change someone's name in it, but I was trying to think of the right name for them. And like, because you know when you can like really tell that a name has been changed?
Oh, for sure.
Or like, you know, if the person's real name were Steve and I changed their name to Butterfly or something in the book, you know? Anyway, so Ash and I, we were like getting into bed and we were talking about this, like what I should change this person's name to.
Butter Steve.
And so we decided that what I should do is just change like one letter in their name.
And, okay, and so, that's good.
So then we made this huge list of what happens to different names if you change just one letter in them.
Okay, give me one good one.
So, Rucky.
So oh, that's Ducky.
No, only. Ricky. Or...
but it's also Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Or Whoppy instead of Wally.
Oh, so you're changing both instances of a letter.
Yes.
So what can we do for mine?
Yours, I think, would be...
Mather.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Oh my God, what are other ones? Oh, Barry became Burry.
Okay. Or Batty.
Certain ones like Bob or Bill... became pretty funny. I'm trying to remember what Bill became.
Bob just became LOL. Yes. All right. Do you want to talk about any of the things that you researched here? Because we're already like 40 minutes in.
Okay. The one thing I do want to say is just to return to the idea of a fried egg on top of steak.
Oh, right.
So in Portugal and Brazil,
okay.
So this is served, I think, in a lot of like Latin American, Central American, and well, in general, I think Spanish-speaking countries. It's served in Spain as well, Portugal, which is not Spanish-speaking. I get it. Don't.
That is something we've learned.
Don't at me, as the kids say.
Anyway, the kids.
All right. In Portugal and Brazil.
Don't TikTok me.
So basically Portuguese-speaking places, a runny egg served on top of a steak is called bife a cavalo, or horse riding steak.
Okay.
And lots of other places, mostly Spanish-speaking that I saw, refer to eggs atop things as riding eggs.
Yeah, that makes sense. When I was in Venezuela many years ago, the place I went for breakfast was called Doña Arepota, and I've talked about this on the show before. That's my catchphrase. that the thing I would always get for breakfast was huevos al caballo.
Mm, yeah. So, yeah, and what were they on top of?
They were on top of like some spiced braised meat and arepas. Oh, really
God,
good.
That sounds fantastic. Okay.
You asked on here, is it true that medama yaki, which is fried egg in Japanese, means cooked eyeball? The answer is yes.
Wow, or like fried eyeball. That's gruesome.
But I mean, it's just the appearance of the egg.
Well, and I guess it fits with the fact that in many cultures, fried eggs are called bullseyes.
Okay, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I saw it first listed. So if you go to the Wikipedia page for fried egg, one of the first countries where they talk about, you know, regional uses of fried eggs, one of the first countries listed is the Czech Republic.
Okay.
And there they, you know, their word for a fried egg prepared sunny side up is a bullseye. And as I read down through like other regional uses of fried eggs, I saw this phrase bullseye come up many times.
That makes sense. My mom called it a bullseye, like a, it's not toad in the hole. That's something else. But like yes. when you crack an egg into you cut a circle out of a piece of toast and you crack an egg into it and cook the egg
in a blanket?
Is that a blanket?
That's what Wikipedia called it, and I was like, I've never heard of that. I call that toad in the hole.
Yeah, no, but toad in the hole is like when you make
one in the hole.
It's something in a hole.
Hole in one.
It's a hole in one. Congratulations, Molly, on getting a hole in one.
Thank you.
Your first time out here on the links.
What do you win?
You win
my favorite handbag.
You win your favorite Gucci handbag.
I can't wait to go to Hawaii.
Yeah. All right. Can we be done maybe forever?
God, not forever. No.
We'll be back next week with another exciting episode.
Next week is cheese plate.
It is? Yeah.
Right?
Because we did episodes out of order because we forgot it was our 10th anniversary.
Whoops.
I can't believe I forgot our anniversary.
Is this our paper anniversary?
I am in the doghouse. No, that's one.
Oh.
I think 10 is aluminum. Oh. Is that right? I can't remember if that's a joke I was going to make or if I looked it up and it actually said that, but who cares? So I got you a can.
So hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. So obviously you can find our show at spilledmilkpodcast.com where we don't have the kimchi fried rice recipe printed from before.
Again,
so we'll repost it.
It
was also on my blog.
It's also on your blog, and we probably link to it on the kimchi episode.
Okay.
Also, probably as you're hearing this, our website is in some sort of severe flux.
Yeah, we're having to make some changes.
Yeah, so you might not be able to find anything on our website, and for that, we sincerely apologize.
But you can find us on Facebook.
That was the least sincere sounding, sincerely apologized. Like, that was like politician level shit right there.
No, it's like when I said that I was really excited about doing that
it
Friday
sounded like
episode.
That.
Okay, so you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
And on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Our producer, Aren't You Glad We Hired One, is Abby Circatella.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that, what were the names of some of those things from the book? The Overeasy, the...
Some of them we invented.
Yeah, that's true.
The Toad in the Hole. That had to be one of them.
Oh, the Toad in the Hole. The show that's going like a toad into your ear hole.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Again, we're gonna look back at that next week and be like, why did we think that was funny? I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Oh, thanks for those mixed nuts. They really fixed me up.
Those fixed nuts.
Those fixed nuts. I love that book.
Yeah, it's new. Wait, what book is that?
It's the sequel to The Fixed Stars.
Oh, okay.
The Fixed Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.